Health insurance is meant, obviously, as we know, to provide funds for people who are hurt in accidents or whatever. But what if those accidents came about because of illegal activity? In that case, insurers can deny coverage to patients. But in some recent cases, patients have been denied coverage even after they were cleared of any wrongdoing. Well, joining us now is Atlanta-based physician and medical journalist, Dr. Ford Vox. As always, he joins us. Dr. Vox, thanks for taking the time.
Good afternoon.
So let's just get this straight. Let's clear this up. If I get hurt in an accident because I was doing something illegally or perceived to be illegal at the time, I don't get any insurance money? I'm out of the...
So this is a provision buried deep within many common insurance policies, and there's some estimates that perhaps even the majority of insurance policies actually have this exclusion, and we as consumers are unaware of it. It seems to be applied somewhat irregularly, sometimes unfairly. The case that we may highlight today of Monroe Byrd, who was shot in Oklahoma, seems particularly appalling and unjust. But And there are, because of the irregularity of it, perhaps that's why there's so little general awareness.
Now let's back up and let's tell the story of Monroe Byrd III, who died June 30th. If you can give us some.
That's right. So Monroe Byrd was a young African American male, 21 years old, who was shot in the parking lot of the apartment complex where he lived on February 4th of this year. And a security guard employed with an agency that the apartment complex had hired was on the lookout for people who may be engaged in sexual activity in vehicles, which is apparently a problem at this apartment complex. And we don't know if that was going on, but he did approach Monroe Byrd and his girlfriend in the car that evening, and a series of events started that are disputed as to exactly the precise details of what may have unfolded. Certain facts are clear, though, in that essentially Mr. Byrd was pulling out of the parking lot and leaving at the time that he was shot by the security guard in the neck, and he became a quadriplegic because of that. The security guard claimed that that Mr. Byrd was pulling out and actually hit him. However, the security guard did not go to the hospital, did not have any injury, but that was his excuse for shooting him. But again, Mr. Byrd was actually leaving at the time.
And subsequently, I guess, his insurance company, Mr. Byrd's insurance company, denied coverage for these catastrophic injuries. Is that right?
That's right. As you can imagine, an injury that results in tetraplegia can be very expensive and necessitates oftentimes a long hospitalization stay with surgery and a prolonged rehabilitation course as well. And it was actually late into this hospitalization, during which a bill of upwards of $1 million had been accrued, that the insurance company started to look into its opportunities to deny this coverage.
And presumably the denial was because he had been alleged to be engaging in the illegal activity, which I would imagine was the allegation that he was engaged in sexual activity in the parking lot. Is that?
I think that they were actually thinking of him perhaps
hitting
security
the
guard, which was in the security guard's report. There was no evidence, obviously, on his physical person for that having occurred, and the security guard certainly was not seriously injured.
And
but
it hasn't been determined
claim.
Yet whether or not he was trying to hit the security guard, although the security guard did not go to the hospital. That's still in dispute. Is that
right? That's
right.
Okay. The young woman who was in the car with Monroe Byrd disputes these claims.
All right. Well, let's take a look then at what the definition is for the insurance companies. Presumably, if you're injured in an explosion while you're cooking meth, the insurance company is going to say, okay, that's illegal. There's no reasonable person would expect an insurance company to cover that. But let's say you've run a red light or something, or it's something fairly minor, and you're injured in a traffic accident. Can that, is the definition that strict for the insurance company?
It is quite galling, but actually it is. I think we can all imagine situations if you're committing a mass murder and happen to be shot yourself, where you probably should be out of luck. However, the case law has been such that the courts have upheld the text, these exclusionary texts that actually do not require that the person be prosecuted. They don't require that charges be levied against you.
Doesn't have to be even any proof that you were engaged in whatever the insurance company says you were engaged in?
Some evidence, such as perhaps a police report from another person, has to be out there. But the insurance company doesn't have to go through an investigative process itself. They can just kind of cite these facts or evidence supposedly about the case itself. And surprisingly, there have been individual cases in which people were, for example, committing a minor traffic violation. Right. This resulted in an accident, and the insurance company denies coverage for that reason.
We're talking about insurance coverage for people who've been accused of illegal activity. And we're speaking with Atlanta-based physician and medical journalist Dr. Ford Vox. Dr. Vox, I'm curious here, and a couple questions. These types of coverage denials, are they in all the states? And my second question, what about here in Georgia?
That's right. They do exist here in Georgia. They are in most states. Beyond just illegal activity, there are often clauses that exclude coverage if you were intoxicated. And certainly you can be intoxicated with illegal substances, but narcotics, alcohol as well. These are common in many insurance policies as well. And all of this really seems to have started back in the 1940s. It was a time when we were perhaps a little bit more Puritan at that point, certainly in terms of the alcohol abuse question. Folks didn't perhaps understand back then that there could be a medical issue there as well, addictive behaviors and so forth, and laws were passed at that time.
So, and just to be clear, because is this for all insurance carriers, or are we just, how can people check, or is this something that's blanket across, or...
You can check your insurance policy, and if it's something that concerns you, which perhaps it should, although hopefully we're not all engaged in illegal activity that routinely, but it could be something minor.
Or yeah. Someone, like, as we were just talking about, you're accused and you haven't even been charged or, you know, convicted even. So if people want to just check, just... for simple knowledge.
That's right. You can certainly request the full text of your insurance policy and look at the section that is called exclusions and exceptions. And that's where you'll potentially find this kind of language.
A lot of times in lawsuits, the test for a court will be the reasonable test. In other words, what a reasonable person would do. Juries are often instructed on that's the key thing. Is there anything in the insurance regulations in any state that bring up that reasonable test? In other words, you need to have a reasonable definition of what illegal is and a reasonable way of showing, if you're the insurance company, that it was illegal enough to cause you to deny coverage.
You know, I would hope so, but unfortunately there have been many cases in which these denials have been upheld for situations that I personally wouldn't consider too reasonable, such as a child engaged in an activity that may be quote-unquote illegal for an adult, say, but it would certainly be dealt quite differently in the criminal justice system for a juvenile. And in those situations, even though it may have led to serious harm, the denial is still upheld. And, for example, when people maybe not signaling, turning, you know, changing lanes, I don't necessarily consider that a reasonable situation in which to deny coverage for a subsequent accident. Indeed, much of the medical establishment, especially in trauma centers, we were facing these denials with some frequency, and up to 35 to 50% of people are coming into trauma centers perhaps with intoxicants in their systems and could be subject to such denials. Many of the people who are involved in this from a public health perspective and Mothers Against Drunk Driving and so forth recognize that we're doing harm to ourselves by instituting these denials, because we're also preventing physicians from wanting to check for the fear that their patients may be denied.
What would you say to someone perhaps from an insurance company who says, look, you know, there is the issue of personal responsibility here. Mm-hmm. That part of making sure that you cut your risk of having something bad happen to you is to act responsibly. You know, signal before you make that turn and, you know, give the other driver a chance to avoid hitting you. Is that a reasonable argument?
That was kind of part of the original argument for passing these types of laws, but we seem to have in subsequent decades forgotten that they even exist. And it seems particularly unjust when these exclusions are pulled out and coverage is denied, in which we're not generally aware. You know, I was not aware of this until it happened to one of my patients for the first time about 5 years ago.
What was that Do you mind sharing what this
Sure.
Was
that
like?
Was back when I was practicing in Boston. I've actually had some cases here in Atlanta as well, but there was an altercation where one of my soon-to-be young patients was involved in a fight at a party. And someone essentially ended up running him over with their vehicle. And the claim for that person was that they were trying to flee because of the altercation, and that that patient's insurance coverage was denied for that reason because of the charge from that other person.
Well, Dr. Vox, you're a physician here in Atlanta, and you have patients. You mentioned that this sort of puts physicians in a sticky situation here, because someone comes to you and they say, well, you know, we were shooting off guns in the woods, and it was I accidentally, shot my foot. How in-depth are you asking questions? I mean, they're coming to you for medical care, mm-hmm. or medical care follow-up. So how in-depth are you going?
All of the circumstances of traumas are potentially important. They're all part of kind of the social situation, the environment the person is in, the risk factors that they have, certainly drugs in their system as well. That may be something that we need to investigate also. And I think that we are potentially erecting barriers to care if a compassionate hospital, a compassionate physician feels they don't want to document certain things, don't want to ask certain questions.
And it could profile certain populations of the community as well. And,
sure.
and people may not feel comfortable because, I am going to sort of be profiled for my injury and then be denied a claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it could potentially affect statistics that the policymakers and legislators need to rely on as well.
You just went where I was going. We've got just a couple of seconds here. As awareness of this debate has grown, do you expect to see more political battles over this being fought in either state legislators or the offices of state insurance commissioners like the one here in Georgia?
Well, over the course of certainly the past decade, some of the laws have been pared back when we look particularly at the alcohol and other intoxicant exclusions. Now we're down to 26 states that have that law that came out from 1947 that was kind of passed generally in the vast majority of states. As for the illegal exclusions, there hasn't been, or the alleged illegality exclusions, there have not been as much political pressure with regards to that. This issue with regards to intoxicants has been debated in Georgia before and easily beaten back by the insurance lobby for obvious reasons.
Well, we really appreciate it. Dr. Ford Vox.
Thank you, Dr. Vox.
Thanks so much for being with us once again.
You bet.